Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's up, guys? It's Candace Dillard-Bassett.
And I'm Michael Arsenault. And this is Undomesticated.
We're putting it all on the kitchen table and inviting you to the function. Follow and listen to Undomesticated, available wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Well, I hope they got their rest because they got to play in another 3 hours.
I think they're still playing last night's game.
18 innings, almost 7 hours. It did not end until 1:36 our time.
Yeah, so much for all those changes to make the games quicker.
I was exhausted watching it.
That's not fair, Sam.
Shohei Ohtani, by the way,
stud.
Up 9 times, on base 9 times, walked intentionally 4 of the 5 times.
Correct.
And is that ties a record or that is a record?
It is a record for the most number of times a player in a World Series has gone to the plate, never flew out or struck out.
The record that is tied is games lasting 18 innings in the World Series. The only other time it happened was in 2018.
That is correct.
And Brad Paisley performed the national anthem both times.
You may remember there was a 14-inning game with the Royals in 2015.
Uh-huh.
If Brad Paisley sings the national anthem at the World Series and you have to go to bed early,
you're in for a long night.
Just stop watching.
There's a play that otherwise would have gone viral today, but the headline is dominating.
You're about talking about the
length of the game. Yes. You guys go back and look at this. It's so funny, Dan. It's not funny because I really do want Toronto to win, but Toronto is up at bat. Okay. There is a runner on first, Dan. There is a runner on first. Toronto is up to bat.
Okay.
Full count. And the pitcher throws a ball. It is high. It is chest level high. It is ball 4.
Okay.
So
would have been ball 4.
The batter goes to take off their, you know, they're wearing all these little things up there at the plate.
We're in a different place.
The batter goes to take off his protective gear to go take his baseball 4. The umpire delays in erroneously calling it a strike.
Oh.
So there's this lag. He just assumes it's a ball. Everyone assumes it's a ball. Hell, the pitcher turns around and starts walking back to the mound. It's a ball. Batter starts walking toward first base. You know how they just kind of valet jog?
Saunter over there.
And then there's this moment where the umpire delayed. He says it's a strike. And the batter turns around like, what? The pitcher didn't even think this was a strike. So what happens is the runner on first that's already on first starts valet jogging to second. Mm-hmm. Everyone thinks this is a ball.
Mm-hmm.
Valet jog. He gets about a third of the way to second base.
That's a third too far.
And you see the batter look at the umpire, and the umpire's like, what are you going to do about it? I called a strike. The pitcher has been standing there on the mound with the ball ready for the next batter.
Throw to first.
Turns around and notices, oh my God, is that a ball? The runner's halfway to second. He just tosses it to first. No one knows what's going on. The runner is like, what the hell just happened? The pitcher's like, what the hell just happened? The umpire clearly got the call wrong. Sorry, but he did. And they were out.
So there was no instant replay or?
No, because I think even the announcers were like, wait, what?
Well, you can challenge it. The batter had three seconds to challenge.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be very quick.
It was not because no one.
I think there was too much confusion for them to be able to challenge within that time frame.
Usually when it's a strike, the umpire immediately goes, ah, right? No, there was this delay.
What's the sound?
Ah!
What?
That's how they call it. That's how I know.
I'll tell you this. I loved the umpire last night. He's so lazy when he calls ball.
Ball.
And, you know, here comes the pitch. Ball. It's almost like he's disappointed.
Yeah.
Right? Just ball.
You know how many times he has said that in his career?
Do you know the umpire the other night that would describe why it was a ball? Please tell me you saw that guy. in the last week.
If I did, we weren't paying enough attention.
Oh, my gosh, Scott. He would go, Johnny even says to me, he goes, do you not hear his very lengthy ball call? Nope, that was high. Then there's another one. That was high left. That was low right. He would literally explain the ball instead of just ball.
Justifying his call.
Sam, when you look this up, no challenging balls and strikes in Major League Baseball. I thought that they had instituted that this year. Maybe it was just during spring training where they were testing.
Where they were testing
it.
That you get two. But if you're wrong, you're in trouble.
I thought that I had seen it in the regular season as well, but when I went and looked it up, it said it was just a test drive.
Okay.
In spring training.
Okay.
So you're right. I forgot about that. They can't do it yet, but I do think they're implementing
I think they're definitely moving in that direction.
After that call, they'll fast track it.
Will you promise me at some point we will have a competition on this program for the best strike call?
Not when we're sick,
but we will involve all of the listeners.
Right.
Because have you seen there's one guy too that once it's the third strike, he does this. He pulls it like you're pulling a lawnmower cord.
Starting a lawnmower, yeah.
I love the demonstration.
I do too. I'm like, I think there should be awards. There should be awards for the best strike calling umpire. And it was the other night, you know it. He goes, and then he does this like he's pulling that lawnmower cord.
Now
it's very demonstrative.
You look like Miss Ballbuster in Porky's right now.
No, I'm telling you. Do you not remember that guy? I am obsessed with watching the officials.
Yeah, that's a 45-year-old reference.
Yeah.
Do you think the officials are getting tired of all of the pushback from fans and that's why they're over-explaining? Because I'm noticing it in the NFL, too. It happened all throughout the Chiefs game last night. This is a penalty because this happened. It's going to be 15 yards, and since it's more advantageous for them to take the 10-second runoff, they are taking the 10-second runoff. It is the end of the half. I'm like, what? You just read us a book, man.
I'd rather know than not know.
I do remember that. I remember that.
Sometimes the over-explanation is nice.
We need to have Johnny on at some point because you know he was an official for 30 years.
So we're not wondering.
He was an official for 30 years. And so watching games with him is an entirely new, wonderful experience for me because I can ask any dumb question. He knows. He is a rules guy. He knows every single rule.
That's great.
Always of all time. And he used to say, when it's a ball or a strike and I was behind the plate, you know it. There is no ball. He hates that. He wants, especially for the people in the stands. He said, look, 9 times out of 10, the batter knows it's a ball. The catcher knows. The pitcher knows. But back in the stands, grandma may not know.
Well, if the umpire doesn't make a motion or move, it's a ball. They'll at least at the very
last
least,
night.
They'll at the very least go, you know, with their almost like they're shooting a gun with their right hand, go strike.
No, it's got to be more demonstrative than that.
Now yeah, you gotta let everybody know what's going on. You can't just be playing inside baseball.
I agree.
Your very aggressive, theatric strike lawnmower start that you're talking about is only on the third strike.
Correct.
And among officiants, it is called the punch out.
The punch out.
Mm-hmm.
He's punched out.
Yep.
Huh.
Ah. I like that.
Strike.
I will see one day if we can get him on to call a strike the way he called a strike. And I'm not going to give it away, but it's memorable. It's memorable.
Okay.
It's aggressive.
Is it audible?
Oh my gosh, it is audible. It's one of my...
Can you give us an example?
I walk around the house doing it all the time now.
Can you give us an example?
Ah!
What? What, did you just see a ghost?
Yes. It is very demonstrative.
Is that a mouse?
Ah!
Oh, my God.
Okay. I love it.
From CBS News, an expedition to try to locate Amelia Earhart's plane on a remote island in the Pacific has been delayed until next year.
Is this the pile of rocks?
According to Purdue University, a team of researchers was planning to travel to Niku Maroro Island.
Good try.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Can you do it better?
I don't know. I don't have it in front of
me. Niku Maroro Island.
Common spelling.
In early November to try to determine whether something known as the Turiya object, a visual anomaly seen in satellite, is Amelia Earhart's aircraft.
Reading it slower did not make it sound any better.
Niku Maroro.
I'm reading it. It really is spelled exactly like.
Thank you.
Niku Maroro.
Thank you. Anyway, The underwater object has been visible in photos dating back to 1938, the year after Amelia Earhart and navigator Fred Noonan disappeared.
Oh, my gosh.
While Earhart tried to become the first female aviator to circle the globe.
It's a plane. You guys.
Well, wait a minute.
Look up Niru Mokiraroro.
No, that's not right.
Niku Maroro.
Maroro.
Niku Maroro.
It sounds like a dog. Maroro.
Used to be known as the Kemmins Island or Gardner.
Google
Island.
Image Niku Maroro plane, and it looks like an airplane, and it's right off the coast.
Then why have they waited 90 years?
I think it's one of those islands where only people live and you're not supposed to bother them.
I got
to
be honest, after the second attempt, I didn't think it could get worse, but man, you guys are really, really setting the bar low.
Niku Maroro.
Can I save them some time on this expedition?
6'7".
Looks like a plane.
I want to save them some time. It's not the plane.
Sam, it looks like a plane.
Then why haven't they been there in 90 years?
You remember the pile of rocks that they looked at the last time, right?
Well,
it sure looked like a plane.
That's
a rock formation that looked like a plane.
I think if people really wanted to find it, they could just get on a ship and just toodle around the South Pacific and go.
Here's the problem.
Explore everything.
Rick Gillespie, executive director of the International Group for Historic Aircraft Recovery, told NBC News in July, we've looked there in that spot, and there's nothing there.
Maybe
he says they've
moved.
Looked.
Yeah, maybe it was moved, Dan.
Maybe they moved it.
Who would they
be? The inhabitants of Maroro.
Maybe the Niku Marororans?
It's Marororites.
Marororites.
Yeah.
Maybe it's the island nation of Kiribati.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, ooh, we need a gin up some tourism.
913-586. Well, why? So they can kill you when you come ashore?
That's not this area. They don't do that in these islands.
913-586-7798. 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's up, guys? It's Candace Dillard-Bassett, former Real Housewife of Potomac.
And I'm Michael Arsenault, author of the New York Times bestseller, I Can't Date Jesus. And this is Undomesticated, the podcast where we aren't just saying the quiet parts out loud.
We're putting it all on the kitchen table and inviting you to the function. If you're ready for some bold takes and a little bit of chaos, welcome to Undomesticated. Follow and listen to Undomesticated, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, follow me here. A former Clay County election director has been sentenced for fraudulent use of a credit card device stemming from an investigation back in 2023. Patty Lamb, we covered this when it happened, Scott. Patty Lamb was sentenced today to 5 years of supervised probation.
How much money?
5 years supervised probation is the number I want you to remember. Court documents accuse her of stealing more than $15,000 from Clay County during her time with the election board. That includes $8,100 in non-business related charges, charges with no receipts, $1,300 in expense reimbursements for mileage that she couldn't prove, $200 in petty cash, and $6,278 from two unexplained payroll checks. 15 grand, 5 years probation. And of course, back in September, someone in the election board started looking like these receipts aren't adding up. They asked her about it. I'm not going to say she fled, but she was found in Belgrade, Montana.
That sounds like fleeing to me.
Right. It's not clear what she was doing there when she was arrested last February. She pleaded guilty in August. 5 years supervised probation for $15,000. Then you have this kid, who, by the way, is a UMKC graduate, who went to school with my daughter, who is looking at decades in prison for roaming around town allegedly last week and robbing four banks with a note that said, don't make any sudden movements, give me some cash. In one of those bank robberies, Scott, the Kansas City Star has a new article about this today. In one of the robberies, he walks in, hands the envelope over that says, give me some cash. The teller gives him $141.
That'll cost him 5 years.
He is looking at a very real federal prison sentence of 30 years, 40 years, Scott, four banks. Mm-hmm. You got to assume he gets 10 years per bank. He netted, in total, $6,000.
Good. There are two.
If you steal money quietly, Patty Lamb, you get 5 years supervised probation. If you walk around dressed like the Unabomber, telling someone with an envelope, hand me some money, it's 40 years. And I'm not saying he's not going to go away. He's going away for a very, very long time.
I don't think he's going away for a very long time.
Oh, Scott. Four banks.
Well,
he's going
to go to prison.
No gun.
The average federal bank robbery sentence is roughly 10 to 11 years. There's not a judge in this town that is going to run those sentences consecutively. No. It's going to be concurrent. He'll get 10 years in prison. Here's the difference. There are two major differences between these two cases. Number one, and the least of which.
It's all taxpayer money.
I understand. Well, the bank money isn't. That's private money. That's not taxpayer money. And this is the least of the two. Number one, Dum Dum Baby allegedly chose to rob banks. That is a federal charge.
Yes.
It is federally backed. It is not a secret that the federal courts are much stricter, usually, on their sentences than state courts. Number two, and this is the bigger difference of the two, Betty or Peggy or whatever her name is allegedly siphoning money off without people knowing. Okay? What is the one thing that this 17-year-old kid or 20-year-old kid, whatever he is now, did that was different than what Petty Beggy did? He instilled fear in his victims, alleged victims.
Oh, of course.
Therein lies the difference.
Tellers will tell you they have nightmares about it. I don't want to rank how bad is each bank robbery. There's a difference between someone walking in with an AK-47, everyone on the ground, strong-armed robbery, and what he is alleged to have done, which is still a federal crime if convicted, passing a note that says, give me your money.
I don't know if he has a gun or not.
I think it's fear in all cases, but I think the fact that no weapon was insinuated or displayed also makes it on the lower end of the sentence there. And I don't want you to think that I'm trying to justify this, but she stole $15,000.
Without instilling fear
in her
victims.
And then ran off to Montana, right. and she's getting probation, and she's a woman. Whenever it's a woman, they always get probation.
Well, look at school teacher-student sex scandals, okay? Let's be honest. As a society—
We've gotten better at it.
No,
but
we haven't.
We're not there yet.
Where's Mary Kay Letourneau today?
Well, yeah, that's she's—
Is she taking care of her two children from that little boy?
Special flower, that woman.
When female teachers, let's call it what it is, rape a male student, okay, it's almost like as a society we're like, well, that's unfortunate. If I was a parent, I would probably be disgusted. But male student probably wanted it too.
Yeah, you're right, though. We only hear about the ones that are so gruesome that it could fill five New York Post stories. I've seen a few and put a few in the stack recently that thankfully you guys did not pick up. But if it's the male side, it's the top page.
They're a monster.
Yeah.
The male teacher is immediately a monster. Even if the relationship, and I'm using this in air quotes, was consensual. Okay. It can't be consensual when you're dealing with a teenager.
Right.
And you're an adult, let's be honest. But when it's a female teacher, we kind of tend to turn the other cheek. It's like, he probably wanted it too. And he probably bragged to his buddies about it and so forth and so on. And the same goes when it comes to embezzlement or robbery or theft. When it is a woman and it whenever it's a bank, let me rephrase it. Let me walk that back. Whenever it's a government or a church, 99.9% of the time, it's always a woman. Always a woman. Usually named Ruth.
Usually, but not exclusively, named Ruth.
That is correct.
By the way, Mary Kay Letourneau is not raising those boys because she's dead.
Did she die?
Mary Kay Letourneau died?
I think in 2020. We talked about it at length when she passed.
July 6th of 2020.
Yeah.
So we would have been home working during COVID. That one kind of slipped past the gate.
Nobody's brains were good then.
No. How did she die?
Death.
Cancer.
She died from death?
Yeah.
Every
she
time.
Had six kids?
Oh,
good
oh,
God,
they
lady.
Ended up, we, all with Vinny Folau. And the fact that I still remember that guy's name, I need therapy. How do I remember that guy's name?
Because you have an encyclopedic mind when it comes to weird crimes. Mm. They ended up getting married.
She died at 58 years old from colorectal cancer.
Really? I guess then, since she died from death, she would not be raising those six kids.
They released a formal joint statement from the families. What was she famous because of what she did?
Yes.
Infamous. Oh, Sam.
Very.
Infamous.
Oh, my gosh.
She interviewed with Barbara Wawa.
Don't you remember she had this really weird voice? She's like, I know people don't understand it, but I just love him so much.
913-586-7798.
God rest her soul. That was that woman had problems. My God.
586-7798.
So you remember how controversial it was when Kansas City police finally said you can live outside of the city limits and be a police officer here?
On the force.
I mean, my God, we argued about that for decades. And then finally, you know, this guy did not fall down.
They have to live within 40 miles.
They can live within like 30 minutes or something. Okay, everything's fine. Listen to this story. Oh, how far is too far for any public servant to live away from the community that they serve? Okay, I think most people would say 30 minutes. A California police chief is under investigation for sleeping at the station while living 600 miles away.
That's a distance. That is a distance.
A Bay Area police chief set up a bed in his local station where he reportedly slept during the week before returning to his home more than 600 miles away in Idaho on the weekends. It has prompted calls for his removal. Eamon Allen, chief of police in Millbrae, about 15 miles south of San Francisco, is the subject of a formal complaint filed by the city manager to the county attorney. The complaint was triggered by a bombshell television report that included photographs of two bedrooms that had been added to the Millbrae police station since he became chief sometime before the summer of 2024. An examination of property records found that he bought a home just outside of Boise. Lovely community.
It is very rural, but
in June of last year, when asked whether he was living in Idaho, he declined comment. That's either a yes or a no question,
you know,
sir.
I've always had a problem with
you live in Idaho.
I've always had a problem with the residency, not just in Kansas City, Missouri, but in any city whatsoever, where you have to be employed in your city with the city government.
Yeah.
You have to force me to live in your city. Now, if I'm going to represent you on the city council,
of course,
I need to live in the neighborhood of which I represent.
Absolutely.
But I remember years ago, you remember the former Kansas City, Missouri superintendent, Hank Williams, Henry Williams. He was found to have lived outside of the Kansas City, Missouri school district boundaries by roughly, if I'm not mistaken, less than 2 miles.
Come on. Right.
Less than 2 miles. He lived in, it's a very nice little
very
apartment
nice
inside
little,
the
little,
police station.
Call that a...
Ben Hadley.
Loft?
Ben Hadley, good friend of both you and me, who was a fantastic chief of police here in Mission, where we broadcast from, did not live in Mission. He lived in Shawnee.
Right. Well, you also can't force police officers just starting out to buy a home in Prairie Village if they're
right.
Right.
Or Leawood.
Or Leawood or Mission Hills or Mission Woods. I mean, come on, right? So let me play devil's advocate here. Your police chief is basically at the station 24/7. Some people would argue that's a good thing. Well, if you need the chief, you know where he is because he's sleeping in the back room.
Yeah, until one night, Moscow, Idaho, there are four co-eds who are murdered, slaughtered in their home next to the campus, and your chief of police is spending his weekend 600 miles away.
You're right.
in his real home. And you're telling me you have a massive national story of horrible proportion. You need your chief immediately,
yeah,
and he'll say, I'll be there in 8 hours.
Crime and just don't happen on the weekdays.
Correct. I don't have a problem with people saying you have to live near the city. I have a problem with cities saying you have to live in the city. For, you know, and let's just use Ben Hadley as a continuing example. Mission is not known for, and I know Ben has kids, he has a wife and everything. Mission is not known for its rather larger sized homes.
Correct.
Most homes in Mission are 3-bedroom, 1-bath, 1-car garage.
Yep.
Well, I'm chief, and which was in the late 40s and 50s when the soldiers were coming home from war and Mission and Roland Park and Fairway were all being built, it was probably perfect. Well, the needs of the modern day family have grown. And now I need 2 bedrooms. I need I need 2 bathrooms. I need 4 bedrooms. And now my wife works and it's not the 50s anymore. It's not June Cleaver. My wife works outside of the home. We need a 2-car garage.
Yeah.
So that the cars start in the winter. I have no problem with them saying, all right, chief, go live in Shawnee, but just make sure that you're available 24/7. And whenever we need you, God forbid there's an emergency. I mean, the city of Mission doesn't require us to live in Mission just because we work in Mission every single day.
Now, if he lived just outside of, if he was on the eastern edge of California and lived on the very western edge of Nevada, I don't see a problem with that.
I don't either.
But in looking at the map here, it does not appear California and Idaho even touch.
They do not.
That is nowhere near where he works.
Well, I mean, if there's an emergency, a horrible crime in your city, I'm not laughing about that part.
Or an earthquake, Scott.
And you have to take a plane to get back to your town more quickly than you can drive to it. We've got a problem.
Yeah.
We've got a big problem.
Why would anyone want to commute that far anyway?
Well, he probably only went back on the weekends, would be my guess. I don't know. Prince Andrew.
He's making, by the way, $464,000 a year.
As a police chief?
Including benefits. That includes benefits.
Damn. I'm in the wrong business. Prince Andrew continues to show that he is a schmuck. He has reportedly asked for 2 other homes.
Yeah.
2 other homes.
He's demanding 2 homes. I've read this. What a go away.
In exchange for moving out of the Royal Lodge amid the Jeffrey Epstein scandal. Where are the files, by the way? The Sun, which is a UK newspaper, was first to report that Andrew, who is 65, and his ex-wife, Sarah Ferguson, are looking at 2 separate homes in Windsor, previously occupied by other members of the royal family. Andrew has agreed to vacate the Royal Lodge from... I've got to get an English resident's name. He's been asked to or agreed to vacate the Royal Lodge for Frogmore Cottage.
It's Frogmore.
Mm, yeah.
Which was the previous home of Prince Harry and Meghan Markle.
Where you know what I bet they have at Frogmore?
Fridge is forever stocked with grape
vagina.
Ferguson is reportedly... Ferguson, his ex-wife, Sarah Ferguson, is reportedly hoping to move into Adelaide Cottage after Prince William and Kate Middleton have moved out. Hmm.
Okay.
Under what you allegedly, and the evidence is pretty convincing, engaged in trafficking teenage
I know
girls for sex. Under what grounds do you stand, or on which grounds do you stand, where you think you can ask for two opulent homes?
What do they do with him, Scott?
Who cares?
I know, but what do they do with him? I know. You know that Prince Charles is like, oh my God, please just go away.
Stop taking your cholesterol medication.
You know, the taxpayers fund all of that over there. I've always wondered, will there come a time where the war dies?
No, no. And here's why.
Tourism?
Yep. When Sarah graduated from college, or check that, when Maya graduated from high school, I said, pick any place within reason.
Yeah.
We're not going to Fiji. We're not going to the Great Pyramids. Pick something within reason that Dad can afford, and I'll take you there. And she said London. And do you want to guess the very first place we went once we got settled in the hotel? Mm-hmm. Buckingham Palace.
Buckingham.
We also spent an entire day at Windsor Castle.
But not Frogmore.
We didn't go to Frogmore nor Adelaide.
I mean, this has my conspiracy theory mind going off the charts right now.
All right, let it out, bro. Don't be shy.
If they entertain giving him two homes after what he's been alleged to have done.
And I think the evidence is strong that he did that. But go ahead.
Does that not paint the possibility that somebody else in the royal family may or may also not have known what was going on, and they're afraid that he's going to out them if they shut him down? Because the easiest response is blank off, dude.
Or, Sam, out more information they don't want out, like Prince Harry did in Spare.
Yeah.
Like, they don't want him airing the royal dirty laundry.
Of which I think there is plenty.
Oh! Over the decades?
But,
are you kidding
but
me?
No, they'll never get rid of the royal family. They're worth more in tourism than they cost the country.
Well, and they own so much land. Like, they talk about the British Empire not being the British Empire anymore. Well, tell that to the royal family.
Mm-hmm. I still remember waiting in line at Windsor Castle. That line was a mile long to get in. Tickets, $50 a piece.
Yep. You paid it with a smile on your face.
Yes, I did. We walked all over that place. 913-586-7798.
Terrible Joke Tuesday.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Hang on. We haven't had time to promote it yet. We'll do it at 5:30. We'll do Terrible Joke Tuesday at 5:30 this afternoon. We talked about it in the newsroom. It has completely slipped my mind all show. That's my fault. I apologize. So we will do Terrible Jokes at 5:30 this afternoon here on Dana and Parks.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's up, guys? It's Candace Dillard Bassett.
And I'm Michael Arsenault, and this is Undomesticated.
We're putting it all on the kitchen table and inviting you to the function. Follow and listen to Undomesticated, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Story here out of Jasper County, Mississippi, wherever the hell that is. It's in Mississippi.
I hope it's not near my mom and dad.
Monkeys used for animal testing were shot and killed after a truck carrying them overturned in Mississippi earlier this afternoon.
Oh.
According to the sheriff's department, the crash happened on I-59 north of Heidelberg, Mississippi. The truck was carrying, are they called rhesus?
Yes, but they're aggressive. The truck was carrying, quote, aggressive monkeys.
21 of them.
If you were used for animal testing, you'd be aggressive too.
I
know.
I was going to say, they almost got away.
They're telling the public, call 911. Do not go anywhere near them because, you know, God bless them. This is so sad. But, ooh.
Did you see what the monkeys are carrying?
Hepatitis C, herpes, and COVID.
Nice.
So they're itchy and sick.
Oh, God. That's so sad. And I know people.
Well, they don't have it anymore.
No, Dan, they don't. One still on the loose, though, Dan. He ran for a tree line, and they haven't seen him since. Isn't there a way that we could do this without doing that?
So I actually had to write a paper.
I don't want to talk about your paper. I don't want to talk about it. Do not bring it up. I don't want to talk about it.
On animal testing in college when I was at KU, and I did a yeoman's worth of research. Mm-hmm. At the library back then, you know, the Dooley decimal system. And
that's
everything.
How you did it back then.
Yeah. And I did a ton of research. And the pictures I saw, the things that I read, the things that I found.
You cannot unsee.
I can. Mm-hmm. I still to this day, Dana, 30-something years later, I cannot get the images out of my mind.
This is so sad.
And the stories about, and I'm not going to get into gruesome detail. Everybody's driving home, don't need to throw up in their car. But what they would do, like, to test a new razor.
Yeah, I don't want to hear it. Like, I've heard the story before, and it makes me so sad. Now, we've talked to Libby about this on the air. Without research like that.
There's no defense in a lawsuit.
No, you know, we talked about this with the Beagles at, I think it was Mizzou. Without research like that, we don't have the advancements in medicine that we have.
This was not advancement in medicine.
I know.
This is. How many strokes of a razor does it take?
I don't want to hear it. Stop it.
Until you can see organs in a rabbit.
Okay, you said you weren't going to say it, and then you said it.
And also, I would argue that we don't need to be putting 18 different chemicals into a conditioner to test to see if a beagle is going to react it appropriately. How about we just come up with a conditioner that, bear with me, doesn't have 18 chemicals in it.
But there's rules about it, and it just makes me sad. And the monkeys were everywhere, and they were running loose.
That's the funny thing. There aren't many rules about it. The reason that Johnson & Johnson and these other, you know, super cosmetic companies do these things is so that when you try to sue them in court, they have R&D to lean back on to say, no, we did our due diligence. We did everything that needed to be done to prove that you would really have to shave yourself 500 times before you could see your liver.
Now, I will tell you this. This is why there are products that will say, we do not do any testing on animals. No animal testing. And so if that's important to you,
it is important.
Buy products that don't test on animals.
Scott PETA Parks over here.
No.
I think it's an evolution of so many things. It used to be a long time ago, this is the only way. I mean, remember, you used to have to use a rabbit to figure out if you were pregnant or not.
Yeah. Don't do that anymore.
Hence the Walk This Way song.
Things have changed, evolved.
Yeah. You got to boil the rabbit.
Those monkeys were almost free.
One of them still is. Run, buddy, run.
Keep
go,
going.
Go, hepatitis monkey, go.
Infect your fellow brethren.
Hopefully it's not the COVID-19 monkey.
913-586-7798. Quick break for the news with Dan Weinbaum.
Mississippi.
Coming your way in about 2 minutes here on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at kmbz.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's up, guys? It's Candace Dillard-Bassett, former Real Housewife of Potomac.
And I'm Michael Arsenault, author of the New York Times bestseller, I Can't Date Jesus. And this is Undomesticated, the podcast where we aren't just saying the quiet parts out loud.
We're putting it all on the kitchen table and inviting you to the function. If you're ready for some bold takes and a little bit of chaos, welcome to Undomesticated. Follow and listen to Undomesticated, available wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.